Friends, would you please join with me in a spirit of prayer? Holy and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be forever acceptable in your sight. O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So on this, the day of the church's annual meeting, I would just like to say that if you pledged a certain amount to support the church financially this year, you best make good on that pledge, or else. Amen. Okay, great. Not really, just kidding. But what we need to talk about today is the topic of Christian hypocrisy. Christian hypocrisy, because this story is a veritable onion of hypocrisy, with layer upon stinky, tear-causing layer of hypocrisy going on in it. And I recognize, I really do, that this is a topic that we have a hard time relating to, surely, because not since Jesus Christ himself has walked on the face of this earth have there been a people so consistent in word and deed and belief and action as us. So don't think of this so much as a sermon as it is an informational session. Because just in case you happen to run into one of those Christian hypocrites out there in the world, be it at the store or at work or in the bathroom mirror in the morning, you might have a little bit of insight into why they're doing what they're doing. So let's just peel off this first layer of hypocrisy we find in this story, the most obvious layer of hypocrisy. That is the hypocrisy of Ananias and Sapphira. So if you were here last week, you will hopefully remember that we read that passage from Acts 2 that provided a bit of a snapshot into how the earliest Christians came together to form church communities. And what was most notable, what was most remarkable about those communities is that they shared all of their worldly possessions with one another. Remember, to the extent, the scripture said, that they sold their property and possessions so that money could be given to the poor. So, that is to say that it was the expectation of the church leaders at the time and members of the church community more generally, it was their expectation that when Ananias and Sapphira sold that parcel of land that they owned, it was the expectation that they would take all of that money and that they would give it to the church leaders so that it could be distributed to the poor in the community. Obviously, that is not what happened. That is not what Ananias and Sapphira did. What they did instead was that they sold that parcel of land for a certain amount of money, and then they conspired together to set aside part of that money, and then they took the rest and they gave that to the church. But the way they went about it was that they pretended that partial amount that they gave to the church, they pretended that it was in fact the full amount. So in other words, they said one thing, but they did another. This is classic Christian hypocrisy. You say and pretend to do one thing in church, to be one kind of person in church, and then outside of church, you say and do other things. Classic Christian hypocrisy. So this is the kind of hypocrisy where on a Sunday morning we talk a big game about the need to forgive other people, right? And we believe that, we hold fast to that belief right up until the point that somebody actually wrongs us, right up until the point where there's actually need for us to forgive someone, right up until the point where someone leaves a snarky comment on one of our Facebook photos. And rather than forgiving them, rather than just blocking them or deleting the comment, what do? We go scorched earth on them in a very public forum. We air all of our dirty laundry. Classic Christian hypocrisy. This is the kind of hypocrisy where on Sunday morning we talk a big game about the need to love our neighbors, and then we're over there at Stop and Shop at the self-checkout line, and there's a guy going through with a cart full of produce in the self-checkout line where you have to look up each variety of produce on that hard-to-use computer system. And 20 minutes later, when it's finally your turn to get up to the self-checkout line, you're up there, and he's taking his sweet time bagging his stuff. And although we've been talking a good game about loving our neighbor in church, certainly Jesus did not have in mind this particular variety of dingbat here at Stop and Shop. Surely he didn't have this guy in mind. So what do we do? What do we do? We're putting our family-sized jar of Prego on the conveyor belt and we angle it so it just goes down and it hits his pears, his bag of pears, and bruises them a little bit passive-aggressively. Classic Christian hypocrisy. I've never actually done that. That was just a hypothetical situation that I came up with. Don't do that at home, kids. Don't do that at home. But the easy thing for us to do in this situation when we read this story is to come down on or to condemn Ananias and Sapphira for their hypocrisy. Right? That is the easy thing to do. But a more fruitful thing for us to do, I think, is to ask the question of why. Why weren't they comfortable admitting to their church leaders and to their church community that they were not ready yet to live as radically as their church community wanted them to live? Why did they feel compelled to have to lie to the church leaders, to lie to their friends? And to answer that question, I think we just have to remember that at this point in the story, the church is still in early days. This is a new community unlike anything the world had ever before seen. We're bringing together people of all different socioeconomic stations. Jews from every nation, from every language are coming together into a single community. This is a new thing they're building here. They're still figuring out what it means to have a resurrected Christ as their Savior. They're trying to figure out what the implications of that are for how they're living together. And in their excitement and in their exuberance for this new thing they're building, they've adopted this all-in or all-out mindset. Either you're in here down in the trenches living radically as we are, building this new thing with us, or you're not. At this moment in the church, there was simply no middle ground there. There was no Sunday school. There was no catechism. There was no procedure for bringing people slowly into the faith. It was either an all or none proposition. And that is why Ananias and Sapphira were afraid to be authentic with their church leaders, afraid to be authentic with their community, because they risked not being accepted by that community if they were honest. And I think if we were to look around at churches today, we would find a lot of churches that have a very similar mindset. Certainly, I grew up in that kind of church. A church that said, in order to be a member here, you need to believe X, Y, and Z. You can't curse, you can't gamble, you can't drink, and P.S., everybody in the congregation is heterosexual. And sure enough, when you set up conformity as a barrier to acceptance, as a barrier to God's love, people will conform, at least on Sunday morning. And sure enough, in that little country church up there in upstate New York, people would show up on Sunday morning and they would believe X, Y, and Z, and they wouldn't cuss and they wouldn't gamble and they wouldn't drink, and they'd be straight as straight can be. But as for Saturday night, And all the rest of the week, well, all bets were off for then. When you set up conformity as a barrier to acceptance, as a barrier to God's love, you will get conformity, but at the cost of authenticity. So what I would invite us to view the hypocrisy and the example of Ananias and Sapphira as a challenge to us as a congregation, as a community, as a church. Are we a church that demands conformity in order to accept people into our fold? Or do we throw the doors wide open, invite in everybody, whoever you are, and wherever you are in life's journey? Do we mean that? Do we invite people in so that we can grow together more into the image of God? More in the fruits of the Spirit, that together we may grow to be able to better live out those values that we preach here every Sunday? I invite us to look at the example of Ananias and Sapphira as a challenge to us today. That is the first layer of hypocrisy that we find in today's story. And the second layer of hypocrisy that we find in this story is hypocrisy of a more pernicious sort. And I use the word pernicious because even if you don't know what it means, you know that it doesn't sound very good. Pernicious. Pernicious. And this is the hypocrisy that we find in the person of Peter, the Apostle Peter. Now, if you were to, you in the pew backs in front of you in the rack, there are Bibles right there. If you're looking for some physical stimulus, that you can pull that out. And if you were to open it up to page 888, if you can actually do this, page 888. So on page 888, you will find today's story from Acts chapter 5, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. Most people are there. Now, if you were to flip back just 7 pages towards the front cover of the Bible, you will arrive at page 881. Different book of the Bible. It's John chapter 18. But you will find that this amazing passage of Scripture that details how, in the hours leading up to Jesus' crucifixion, in an effort to save his own neck, to save his own skin, Peter denied being a disciple of Jesus, not once, not twice, but 3 times. 3 times Peter lied about even knowing who Jesus was, about being an associate of Jesus. 3 times he lied. You don't have to read it now. John chapter 18, read it after church. So how does Jesus respond to Peter's denial of him in John chapter 18? Well, 7 pages later, Peter's still alive and kicking, so we know that Jesus did not smite him. He's still alive. But instead, what Jesus did was he forgave Peter. To the extent that he even appeared to Peter in his resurrected form, and gave Peter an opportunity to 3 times reaffirm his love for him. That is, Peter's love for Jesus. So, essentially undoing those 3 denials Peter had done in chapter 18 of the book of John. So just to summarize where we are in today's story, what the narrative arc that led us up to this point, Peter denied and lied about being associated and being a disciple of Jesus 3 times. And in response, Jesus extended to him love and mercy and forgiveness. That is to say, grace. Jesus extended to Peter grace. And then, just 7 pages later, 2 people lied to Peter about the amount of money that they sold a parcel of land for, and Peter responds by killing them. That's the appropriate way to interpret and understand what happened in today's story. If you were listening carefully, if you're reading along, you will have noticed that the story does not say that God killed Ananias and Sapphira. And we've all seen enough Law and Order SVU to know that it's a little bit coincidental that two people would be talking to Peter Wright and Rowan, both would suffer from heart attacks or whatever and would die of natural causes. But what's happening in this story is that Peter is using the power that God has imbued him with, power that hitherto he and the other disciples have been using to perform signs and miracles and healings, and Peter uses that power to kill Ananias and Sapphira. Pernicious, pernicious hypocrisy. But this is nothing new to the people of God, this kind of hypocrisy. We saw it just a couple weeks ago when Matthias preached on that amazing bit of scripture from 2 Kings. Do you remember that one? Where the prophet Elisha is walking along and he encounters a group of young boys. And this group of young boys have the audacity to call him, and I quote from 2 Kings, Baldy. They called him Baldy, and what did the prophet Elisha do? He used the power that God gave him as a prophet to call two she-bears out of the wilderness to come maul this group of 42 boys. Right? This kind of pernicious hypocrisy is nothing new to the people of God. It's baked into us as people of faith, I think. But at the end of the day, I think that there is a little bit of good news for us at the core, at the center of this stanky old onion of hypocrisy that we find in today's story. And that good news is the fact that we can choose differently than did Peter. We can choose to do differently than did the prophet Elisha. We can choose to use the power that God has given us in the form of the Holy Spirit that lives inside us. We can choose to use the power we have as a people who are connected into that Christic energy that has been flowing through the universe since the beginning of creation. We can use that power not to pass on curse to other people, but to pass on blessing. We can choose to use the power God has given us, not to pass on judgment on other people, but to pass on the grace that we ourselves have received. We can choose to use the power we have, this new life, this second chance that we have been given. We can use this power to pass on life and hope and love to other people instead of death. We can choose, in other words, to be vessels of God's love instead of hypocrites. Friends, may we choose wisely. Amen.